This morning, I'm going to ask you to stand, please, for the reading of the word. We've been talking about coming up to another level in God, and that's out of John chapter 14. John chapter 14, I'm going to begin in verse 10. John chapter 14, he says this, "Do you not believe that I am in the Father and the Father in me? The words that I speak to you, I do not speak on my own authority, but the Father who dwells in me does the work. Believe me that I am in the Father and the Father in me, or else believe me for the sake of the works themselves. Most assuredly, I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, he will do also. And greater works than these he will do, because I go to my Father. And whatever you ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask anything in my name, I will do it.
Thank you, Lord.
If you love me, keep my commandments.
Yes.
And I will pray the Father, and he will give you another helper.
Yes.
That he may abide with you forever."
Yes.
Father, we thank you for the reading of your word in Jesus' name. You may be seated. Praise God. So we've been talking about coming up to another level in God. And that is a level of maturity that sometimes seems unattainable. Growing up in a wonderful church that preached you must be born again and preached that the Word of God is the Word of God, I'm thankful for that rich heritage of having an altar call at the end of every service where people could give their lives to Christ. But they stopped short on believing God for the supernatural. They stopped short on actually stepping out in faith and seeing the gifts of the Holy Spirit manifest in our church, because many, many centuries ago, there was a theological debate. That theological debate is called those that believe in continualization of the gifts of the Spirit and those who believe in the cessation of the spiritual gifts. Now, one of the proponents in the Protestant Reformation, John Calvin, tended to be a cessationist, meaning he believed that the gifts of the Holy Spirit ceased in the church. He believed that we were destined, predestined, to either be a Christian or not be a Christian, and that God chose. How many of you know that God, he is so good, and he gives us a free choice.
Thank you, Lord.
He gives us a free will to either follow him or not follow him. Now, with that said, that debate kept on running for many, many centuries, even to today. So, we have churches that believe in the nine gifts of the Holy Spirit, as the Apostle Paul lays them out in the book of Corinthians, the first Corinthians, and we also have churches that believe that all of those gifts went away and that they don't exist anymore. And as a young man and as a teenager, I began to really get excited about the things of God. And I came into a personal relationship with God. And when that happened, I was hungry. I was hungry for the Lord. I was hungry to know more about him. The Word of God seemed to come alive from the pages. I was not wanting to really do anything else but literally read the Word and to learn of God. And the more I learned, the more I learned that, first of all, the gifts of the Spirit, as recorded throughout church of history, there has never been one century where the gifts ceased to exist. In fact, many church fathers, going all the way back to the first and second, third century, would have writings recording instances of the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Now, last week we talked about Pentecost Sunday and how God has an answer for maturity. That answer for maturity is the power from on high to live this life out. If we don't have the power, then there's really there's really no difference between us trying to obey the law like they did in the Old Testament and those who just seem to kind of let it go happenstance, that whatever happens, happens. I've got news for you. God does not sing the song, que sera, sera, whatever will be, will be. No, God has a purpose, he's got a plan, and he wants his people to follow, but he will not force his people to follow, and he will not cause you to do something that you do not have a personal will to yield to. And one of the things we pointed out last week, in fact, go ahead over there to Acts chapter 1 and verse 8. Acts chapter 1 and verse 8, we see something very, very interesting in Acts chapter 1 and verse 8. These are Jesus' words when it came to speaking to his disciples and those who had gathered with him. These are his words when he said, "But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the end of the earth." The power of God is meant to give you power to live this Christian life, where we can't do it ourselves, where we can't follow the law ourselves and do every little perfect thing right. That is where the Holy Spirit and the power of the Holy Spirit come into play. God's calling us to come up to a higher level. Now, I use that phrase, it's from Revelation chapter 4, when God speaks to John to come up hither, to come up to a higher place, to be able to see what the Lord wanted to show him. Now, God is calling us to a different level in him, and as the world stage seems to unfold around us, the actions that are happening, I believe we need the Holy Spirit now more than we've ever needed him. Yes. To know where to be at the right place at the right time, yes, knowing how to hear his voice, obeying him, because he lives within us when we received Christ in our lives. He came to live on the inside of us, but he also wants to endue you with power, yes, so that you can live this Christian life, have power over sin, have power over your own flesh, to be able to live this Christian life in such a way that instead of it always being a struggle, 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 you are able to help others in that struggle. Hallelujah. Can you say amen?
Amen.
Now, I just said a lot. It's all right. It's all right. As I said, God has an answer for us to come up. Now, in the Caribbean, they have a phrase. And if you are from somewhere down island, you're from the Caribbean at all, I believe in Jamaica, they say, come up since. Come up since. And come up since, I believe, is from what I've studied and found out. I asked Colin, one of our resident Jamaican experts, right? I asked him what it meant, and it means to come up and to mature and to come up to a different level. Sometimes it's referred to when they speak of teenagers to come up since. In other words, get some maturity on you, grow up, as we might say here in the States. We might say it's time for you to grow up. Well, what does it mean to grow up in the things of God? I highly recommend a book by Brother Kenneth E. Hagin called Growing Up Spiritually. That's a great book because it talks about stages that you have in your Christian life. Stages that you have in your Christian life. When you're a baby in Christ, everything's brand new. You're excited about everything. There is, it seems like God answers even a whisper of a prayer. And you're just looking for God at every turn. I want to just tell you that that attitude of childlike faith, you should never lose. You should never lose that. So if we're going to come up to that higher level, we need to understand that his desire for us is to be endued with power from on high. Now, go ahead and turn with me to John chapter 20. This, I'm not sure if we have a slide for this, but in John chapter 20, we see Jesus speaking, and I want to set the stage here because I think sometimes we get this muddled. Now, there have been plenty of people who argue Scripture, and I'm not going to argue Scripture, all right? I'm going to tell you what I have found. I'm going to tell you what I believe the Lord has shown to me, but let the Scripture speak for the Scripture, and you will find that there is a lot of wonderful things about power from on high, that God desires his believers to walk in authority, to walk in power. And as our opening verse in John chapter 14 says, how in the world could we do all the works of Jesus and even greater works unless we had power from on high? How could you? How could you? As a human being, knowing all your flaws, knowing all of your foibles, knowing all of you, the things that have tried to dog you and keep you down your entire life, knowing all of those, how in the world could you do the works of Jesus and greater works than those? How in the world? But yet, that's what I believe God's calling us to, that come up sense, that higher level in him, so that we hear his voice. We don't question his voice as long as it's backed up with the word of God. And that's why you should be in the word. You should be in the word. And as long as it's not telling you, okay, you know, it's like some people have told me, well, you know, the Spirit of the Lord told me to leave my wife and go find another one. That's not God, right? That's not God. That's not God. But yet, when we find something in the Word of God that backs up what he's saying to us, the better we get at hearing him. We check it out with the written Word of God. Amen? So there, you're there in John chapter 20. John chapter 20. And this is when Jesus is showing himself to his disciples, the risen Christ, showing himself to his disciples. Notice what it says in verse 19. Then the same day at evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut, where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood in the midst. And he said to them, peace be with you. Now get the picture just for a moment. Jesus has been crucified. There are all of these stories and rumblings and eyewitness accounts that they've seen him alive. They've seen him raised from the dead. And there's still an element of fear that has gripped them. If they know that the Jews and the Romans had crucified Christ, how much more would they think that what's going to happen to them as followers? So they're huddled together. They're huddled together wondering what's going to happen next. Look at what they did to our Jesus. If they find us, what are they going to do to us? So notice it said there that they were assembled for fear of the Jews. But Jesus came, and I always love this, he walked through a wall. You see, Jesus will walk through a wall for you. He'll come wherever you are at, and he will walk through the wall for you. And when he had said this, when he said, peace be with you, he showed them his hands, his side. This is verse 20. And then the disciples were glad when they saw the Lord. You'd be glad too, right? They were glad. Have you ever been glad about something? Right? They were excited. Jesus just walked through a wall for them and showed himself to them. And it says this, and so Jesus said to them again, peace to you. That is the same phrase as today when you have Jewish friends that may say shalom. It means peace, nothing broken, nothing missing. Peace to you. As our Father has sent me, I also send you. And when he had said this, verse 22, this, you should have this underlined in your Bible. If you write in your Bible, I advise you, get a Bible you can write in, or highlight it in your electronic Bible. It says, he breathed on them and said to them, receive the Holy Spirit.
Thank you, Lord.
This right here, this verse 22, is pointing to the new birth. This is pointing to, this is the moment the disciples got born again and the Spirit of God came to live on the inside of them, to transform them. Amen. Aren't you glad when that happened to you?
Yes.
Aren't you glad that when he took your dead, lifeless human spirit and made it alive under Christ, who transferred you from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light?
Thank you, Lord.
That the old had passed away. Behold, all things became new to you. I can remember the day that happened to me. Perhaps you can for yourself. But it's interesting to me because he goes on to say, if you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. If you retain sins of any, they are retained. He goes on to give them some instructions. And we see where Thomas was not there initially. Eventually, Jesus shows himself to Thomas. And we know that Thomas bows his knee and says, my Lord, my God, after he sees the hole in Jesus' side and his hands. So he's seeing, right? He's seeing and he's believing. And verse 29, Jesus said to him, Thomas, because you've seen me, you've believed. But blessed are those who have not seen and yet believe. You and me, we are part of the blessed are those who have not seen and yet believed. Why did we believe? We believed because when we heard the gospel, the faith of God came up on the inside of us and we received what we were hearing. We didn't reject it. Now, some may have analyzed it, looked at it under a microscope, and taken a while to come to that place where they surrender to Christ. But there is a place. I believe every person has this opportunity when the gospel is presented to them, that they have this opportunity to either reject or to accept the gospel.
Yes.
And to come to that place where they receive the good news. Gospel means good news. It's not bad news, it's good news. That Jesus loves you so much that he died for your sins on a cross of Calvary, that he was raised from the dead so that you could have new life. Hallelujah. That's the reason why we have baptism service. It is to identify in the death, burial, and resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. To give a visual sermon illustration to all those around, to all those who would hear, to all those who would see, I have been changed. I've been identified with Christ. You say, okay, Pastor, that's all good and fine. In fact, the church I grew up in, they taught very much, you must be born again, which is John chapter 3 and verse 3, when Jesus said, you must be born again. So being born again is that first step. But I take you over back to Acts chapter 1 and verse 8. This is many days after the event that we just spoke about. Many days after. In fact, about 50 days. Why? Because it's Pentecost. And so we find out that Jesus actually ascends from on high, and they wait, just as he said. Now let me clarify what I just said, because I think I misspoke. So Jesus is with his disciples, they get born again. He appears to them many different times and shares things with them. As we read in the gospel accounts, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, we see the different flavors of the gospel story. But then over there in Acts chapter 1 and verse 8, we see that Jesus is getting ready to be ascended on high, not to be on planet Earth in bodily form anymore until the second coming.
Hallelujah.
And before he leaves, he tells his disciples something. In fact, there are 500 gathered. You're there in Acts chapter 1, verse 8. Acts chapter 1 and verse 8. There are 500 people that are gathered there. And they're seeing Jesus. And Jesus is teaching them. And notice what it says. It says, he tells them right there. He says in verse 1:8, but you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. And you will be witnesses to me in Jerusalem, in all Judea and Samaria, to the end of the earth. Now back up to verse 5, he says, for John truly baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. So being baptized is to be fully immersed, to be saturated, to be absolutely drenched with the Holy Spirit.
Yes.
Now he's talking to people who have the Holy Spirit on the inside. Am I right?
Yes.
We just saw that. So they received in John chapter 20 and verse 22, he breathed on them and they received the Holy Spirit. Right? Right? That's not me speaking. That's what happened. If we believe what the Word of God says, that's exactly what happened. But now we see that 500 of his disciples are gathered. Now this kind of pokes a hole at what I was told as a young man. I was told as a young man, the only people who speak in tongues, the only people who operate in the gifts of the Holy Spirit are the apostles. There are 500 people here. 500 people. And that's because they only counted men. There were probably a whole lot of ladies there, children. And he's telling them, but wait, don't go half-cocked, if you will. Don't go without the power. Don't stop, if you will, at the cross. But instead, let's come up since. Let's get some power to live the Christian life. Power to live the Christian life. And it may not make sense to the natural carnal mind. In fact, it never does to the natural carnal mind. In fact, in Acts chapter 2, go ahead and turn over there to, we see what happens. The Holy Spirit, we mentioned this last week on Pentecost Sunday. We mentioned that in Acts chapter 2, that the Holy Spirit, when the fullness had come, when the day of Pentecost fully came, what is that talking about? When the time frame that God was talking about came full circle, the time frame. Go and wait for the promise of my Father. You will be endued with power. They're waiting, and then notice what happens. It says that they were filled with the Holy Spirit. Now, and it said there, and they were filled with the Holy Spirit, began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. So the Spirit gave them utterance. They didn't come up with this on their own. The Spirit gave it to them. But I want you to know that God is a gentleman. God does not force you into some trance. He doesn't force you by grabbing your tongue and starting you to talk in tongues. That is not what God does. We yield our vessel. We yield our body to the Holy Ghost. And the Word tells us in Romans chapter 8 that there are groanings that cannot be uttered in intelligible speech, is the exact translation in the Greek, intelligible speech. So sometimes there is a tongue that is an actual language, and in this particular case, we see that there were actual languages that were actually heard in the streets of Jerusalem. It drove them to the streets of Jerusalem. They didn't just stay in the upper room. They went about teaching. They went about proclaiming what? The goodness of God. Any Pentecostal experience you have should always point back to Jesus. It should always point back to God has a plan for your life. God loves you so much, he sent Jesus to die for you, to be raised from the dead, so that you can have a brand new life, so that you can reflect the glory of God. Now, sometimes people, they get into all this stuff. They get into their head so much. And sometimes theologians, and listen, I've read many theological works. I have one of my degrees is in theology. And I've got to tell you, there are so many opinions on what man thinks. What man thinks this means. What man thinks that means. What this means. What that means. It is crazy how many different opinions you can get. But if we continue to stay with the Word of God, we see something very clear. God is not that complicated. He's not that complicated. The gospel is not meant to be that you have to have a PhD in order to figure it out. And this power from on high is pretty basic. Power to what? To be witnesses. To be witnesses. Now, the same denomination that I grew up in, they made a decree back in the 1990s. They said, we officially do not believe in the term glossolalia. Now, glossolalia is a fancy theological term for speaking in tongues. So the denomination actually came out and said, we do not believe in speaking in tongues. They had a slight problem. Not just what the Word of God says, but 90% of their missionaries who were on the field spoke in other tongues and believed in praying in other tongues. They had a problem because now they're starting to bring their missionaries home to try to argue with them, and the missionaries that are on the field dealing with devils, dealing with demonic activities, dealing with witch doctors, dealing with people needing miracles to happen because there's no hospital anywhere nearby, and they would lay hands on the sick, and the sick would recover, and they had to rely on the power.
Amen.
Because they weren't living in a Western mindset that was so connected to their intellectualism that they took the power of God out of the gospel. They left it there for the transformation of a human life, but you were always going to struggle. You were always going to be struggling. Always struggle, struggle, struggle. But what about our opening scripture? And the works that I do, you shall do also. And greater works than these. That's a tall order. That's a comeuppance, right? That's a comeuppance. Recently on Foundations, I've been talking about, and also I've mentioned it here, I believe we've got to get to a point that if you say you are a mature Christian, you should know how to lead somebody to the Lord. And if you've been a Christian for any length of time, guess what? Hopefully by now you have led somebody to the Lord. I'm going to just let that sink in just for a minute. And I believe that you should know how to point people to the power of God, to the baptism in the Holy Spirit, to show them what the Word of God says about the gifts of the Spirit, that the gifts of the Spirit are alive, they're active, they are well. Have people misuse the gifts of the Spirit for nefarious purposes? Yes. Have people mimicked the gifts of the Spirit, faked it? Yes, they have. They have, absolutely. Mankind is corrupt. We see it in the book of Acts when Simon the sorcerer saw something. He saw something happen. He said, oh, I want this. Why? So I can make money with it. Right? See, mankind is fallen, and yet Jesus, thank God for Jesus, that he rescued us. He rescued us, but he gives us power from on high. Jesus spoke about the Holy Spirit, and he spoke about what the Holy Spirit would do for us as believers. And when I think through it, I think, you know, so often we forget it was Jesus who said certain things about the Holy Spirit. In Luke chapter 24 and verse 49, I don't expect you to necessarily have the slides for this, guys, back there. But Luke 24 and 49, he says, I am going to send you what my Father has promised, but stay in the city until you've been clothed with power from on high. That was not just the disciples. That was not just the 12, okay? This was his disciples that were listening to him. And it could have, and we know from Acts chapter 1 and verse 8, it was about 500 people who saw him ascend into heaven. And then in John chapter 14, we read it, and I will ask of the Father, and he will give you another advocate to help you, be with you forever, the Spirit of truth. Hallelujah. The word paraclete means one who comes alongside to help. One who comes alongside to help. I don't know about you, but I need help to live this Christian life. If I don't have help to live the Christian life, then I'm going to just live it according to my natural mind, and I'm not going to be very productive in my knowledge of God. I'm not going to be very mature in my knowledge of God. John chapter 7, verse 38, he said, whoever believes in me, as scriptures have said, rivers of living water will flow from within them, symbolizing that the Holy Spirit was going to flow out of the believer and bring refreshment. What does water do? It brings refreshment. It brings life. It brings health. It brings hope. Have you ever been so thirsty that you have been like, I have to have a cup of water right now? If you are walking around and you have the river of life living on the inside of you, then you can spill out that life to somebody who is thirsty, to somebody who is desperate, somebody who needs a touch from God. And when we think through how many times Jesus talked about the Holy Spirit and how the Holy Spirit was there as our helper. Turn with me to Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. I'm talking to you about the purpose, if you will, of the baptism of the Holy Spirit. It is to have power from on high to be witnesses, to actually be a witnesses, to transform, because you've got the power living on the inside. You walk around with, the power of God living on the inside, coming upon you, being so full of God that it spills out on those around you. In Romans chapter 8, we see in verse 26, likewise, the Spirit also helps in our weaknesses. For we do not know what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit himself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And as you study that out, you find out that that is groanings that cannot be articulated in intelligible speech. The Apostle Paul over there in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, 12, 13, he talks about praying with the Spirit and praying in the understanding. So there are times when we are gathered together where we pray in the Holy Ghost. Maybe everybody lifts their voice and begins to speak with other tongues. We see that in Acts chapter 4. We see that all through the book of Acts, that there are believers in united prayer praying in the Holy Spirit. We know from noticing and following the entire timeline in the book of Acts that we see believers who believed in Christ. They were following after Christ, but had not received the power from on high to live this gospel life, to be witnesses. And when we see this kind of painted out before us, we say to ourselves, wait a second, this second experience to be filled with the Holy Spirit, with the evidence of speaking in other tongues, that's not the only evidence, by the way. Sometimes in our Pentecostal circles, we say that's the evidence. Well, I've known some people who speak in tongues and their life is pretty rotten. So
that's true. That can happen. It's a little
good. I'm just calling it the way I see it. Okay.
That's right.
But then I also know that the fruit of the Spirit should come out. So it shouldn't just be the gifts, it should be the fruit too. It should be both, right? I'm talking about comeuppance. I'm talking about come up to a higher level of maturity in God so that we understand these things, that we can walk these things out. On Wednesday nights out of Ephesians chapter 4, I've been talking about the fact that God wants us to come up to a level to be of the same stature and measure of the fullness of Christ. In fact, go ahead and turn there. Ephesians chapter 4, the statue and the fullness of Christ. Well, I got to tell you, that's only going to happen with power from the Holy Spirit. To the statue and the fullness of Christ is, that's a tall order. That's seemingly impossible. We've got to quit letting religious thinking terminate us and cause us to think small. When I say terminate us, I'm not talking about death. I'm talking about we cause our maturity level to just cut off to a certain spot where we'll only go so far. We'll only go so far with God and with the things of God because we are uncomfortable with something. We're uncomfortable with people speaking in tongues. We're uncomfortable with people laying hands on the sick. We're uncomfortable because it's awkward. It's not normal. I got to tell you, in the early church, it was normal. And the enemy has tried his best to keep this a secret. He's tried his best for 2,000 years. I told you last week that the enemy had a big surprise on Pentecost Sunday. Because now he's not dealing with one who is Jesus, but he's dealing with now 120 who look and act and sound and do everything that Jesus did. They raised the dead. They spoke with other tongues. They actually, very soon after the baptism of the Holy Spirit, as they're walking by the gate beautiful and the lame man is sitting there begging, Peter and John said, gold and silver have I none, but what I have, power from on high, I give you, rise and walk in the name of Jesus. That's the power that's going to cause us to flow into a maturity level that God is calling us to. In verse 11 of Ephesians chapter 4, and he said this, and he gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers for the equipping of the saints, for the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we come to the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we should no longer be children, tossed to and fro, carried about with every wind of doctrine by the trickery of men, in the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up in what? All things. Oh, what's he talking about? He's talking about operating in a level with God that is at a higher level of maturity. A higher level of maturity. That you hear God a lot clearer than you did when you first started walking with him. When we first would come to prayer meetings and I don't know what the Lord wants me to do. I don't know what the Lord, now we're like, I feel like I know what the Lord wants me to do, right? What is it? Because my sheep hear my voice and they don't follow the voice of another. So what are we talking about? We're talking about coming up to that higher level in God. And I just challenge you, if you have never been baptized in the Holy Spirit with the evidence of speaking in tongues, it is not, it's not something you just want to bypass just because you're uncomfortable with it or the tradition that you grew up in didn't talk about it. I've got news for you. During the 1970s and 80s, all throughout Westchester County, New York, Connecticut,
yep.
there were groups
yep.
of what was known as the Full Gospel Businessmen's right. Association International. And the Full Gospel meant we're not just going to give you part of the gospel to change your life, but we're going to talk about the full gospel.
That's right.
And there were men who got delivered from alcoholism, who got delivered from drugs, who had their marriages put back together, their families put back together. And I'm telling you, one of the major signs in those meetings were the gifts of the Holy Spirit, glossolalia, people speaking with other tongues. And I'm talking about businessmen who were on fire for God, and they were going back into their home church, and they were challenging the status quo of how come we don't talk about these things.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
They challenged the status quo, and we saw something called the charismatic renewal sweep through churches, sweep through the Catholic churches, sweep through the Episcopal churches, the Methodist churches, the Baptist churches,
right.
and people got filled with the Holy Ghost and with the evidence of speaking in other tongues. And there was power
yes.
on display,
yes.
power from on high, power that was released in the life of the believer
yes.
to come up to a higher level of maturity and to become leaders in some of those churches. The church that I first came on staff with in down in Florida had many different individuals that were in leadership positions. I'm talking about men who were the elders and the deacons and the people who served in ministry, who were mature in God. They could pray for you just as easily as the senior pastor could. If you were sick, you could call Elder so-and-so and he's going to pray the fire down. If you needed help financially, you needed wisdom from God on how to make your bills work, everybody went to J.T. Jones. Why did they go to J.T. Jones? J.T. Jones was a bank vice president, and he was a spirit-filled, tongue-talking Pentecostal. And they would go to him, and he would give them the advice, and he would give them the world advice, but he would also give them the spiritual advice. He'd pray for them. He would pray for them. And God did miraculous things in the midst of that church. Many of the leaders in that particular church had come through that charismatic renewal. They came out of the Catholic Church. They came out of the Methodist Church. They came out of the Baptist Church. I was one that got the left foot of fellowship among the Baptists, because my church was going to slam the door shut on any gifts of the Holy Spirit. We don't want it. Even though the head deacon's son got saved when I brought him to Bible study, got filled with the Holy Spirit, and got delivered from being always token on weed. I'm telling you, the power of God works. Now, I challenge you that if you've never been filled with the Holy Spirit, it's as simple as asking. Say, Lord, I want the power from on high. I want the power from on high. I need the power from on high. Jesus told us, stay put until you're endued with power. Stay put until you are endued with power. Yet many of us just stay connected to our earthly mind, our intellectualism, and we leave the power outside of our life. When we pray in the Holy Ghost, God speaks, and there are things that happen. Sometimes you pray and you know what you're praying about. God will give you the interpretation. In fact, it's fine for you to pray, God, tell me what I just prayed about. Tell me what I am praying about. Tell me. There have been times where I have been praying in the Holy Spirit, and when I've prayed in the Holy Spirit, I'll get a face that'll come up before me. And I'll begin to pray for that person. I don't know what's going on. I have no idea, but I'm praying in the Holy Ghost. Why? I'm praying mysteries out. I don't know what to pray for, but didn't we just read in Romans chapter 8? It's with groanings which cannot be uttered in intelligible speech, right? And so then I'll find out when I'm talking to that person, oh, I just was going through a terrible time. Yep. Well, when was that? And you check the timestamp on it, and you realize that God had you praying for them at the exact time that they needed it. We're talking about the power. We're talking about the power. If we want to come up, we've got to have the power from our high. Amen. There's so much more. So much more. Again, I reference two books for your take advantage of it. We do not have copies of these, but you can take a picture of them. I'm leaving them up here on the podium here. The Spirit Within and the Spirit Upon. This one is Tongues Beyond the Upper Room by Kenneth E. Hagin. Tongues, this is probably one of his best books explaining the difference between some people get tripped up. Well, if somebody prays in tongues, they have to interpret it. That's a public message in tongues. That is not your prayer language or your prayer time in tongues. But these are great, great resources. The one that changed my life as a young man, the three books that I often refer to are The New Birth, In Him, and Why Tongues. Why Tongues. This is full of scripture, and you can go through it on your own time. And I believe God will meet you right where you're at and right where you need Him to come and fill you with power from on high. Amen? Yes. Praise God. Let's bow our heads with a word of prayer. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you, God, that it has the power to change us. God, to literally rearrange us on the inside. Thank you for the power from on high. You didn't leave us as orphans. Lord, I pray, God, that if there be anybody who does not know you, that's either watching online or maybe they've been away from you and they're here in this house, God, that they would not leave this place without coming to know you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. It's real simple. If you want to come to know Christ, Romans 10, 9 and 10 says if you believe in your heart and you confess Jesus with your mouth, that's a way to come back to Him. That is a way to commit and recommit your life to Christ. But the flip side of that, or not the flip side, but the addition to that, is that you confess Jesus as your Lord. What does that mean? He calls the shots. Whatever He says goes. In other words, as some of my friends, maybe in AA, might say, I have a new in-house manager because I couldn't manage my own life. So I have a new in-house manager. And that's when Jesus breathed on His disciples and they received the Holy Spirit. You got a new in-house manager. But you need power from on high. You need power. If you want to be filled with the Holy Spirit or refilled with the Holy Spirit, in just a moment, we're just gonna have a time of prayer up here. We've shut the camera off. We're just wanting to minister to you. If you need to be filled with the Holy Spirit.